Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna, The Introduction, and 26. There's no purport, so I'll just read two translations till we get to a verse with a purport. Sukadeva Goswami continued, after thus advising the demigods and pacifying Mother Earth, the very powerful Lord Brahma, who is the master of all other Prajapatis, is therefore known as Prajapati Pati, returned to his own abode, Brahmaloka. Formerly, Surasena, the chief of the Yadu dynasty, had gone to live in the city of Mathura. There he enjoyed the places known as Mathura and Surasena. Text number 28. Rajadani Tataksya Bhut Sarvayadava Bhubhujam Mathura Bhagavan Yatra Nityam Sanihito Hari. Rajadhani, the train known as the Rajadhani. The capital. Now you know, did anyone ever take the Rajadhani train? Oh, okay. Now you know where it came from. It was in Srimad Bhagavatam. Ta-da! From that time, Sa, the country and the city known as Mathura, Abhut became Sarva Yadava Bhut Pujam. Of all the kings who appeared in the Yadu dynasty, Mathura, the place known as Mathura, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yatra, wherein, Nityam, eternally, Sanihitaha, intimately connected, living and living eternally, Hari, the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Since that time, the city of Mathura had been the capital of all the kings of the Yadu dynasty. The city and district of Mathura are very intimately connected with Krishna, for Lord Krishna lives there eternally. Purport. It is understood that Mathura city is the transcendental abode of Lord Krishna. It is not an ordinary material city, for it is eternally connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vrindavan is within the jurisdiction of Mathura, and it still continues to exist. Because Mathura and Vrindavana are intimately connected with Krishna eternally, it is said that Lord Krishna never leaves Vrindavana. Vrindavanam prityaja padam ekam nagacchati. At present, the place known as Vrindavana is in the district of Mathura, continues its position as a transcendental place, and eternally, and certainly anyone who goes there becomes transcendentally purified. Navadvipa is also intimately connected with Brajabhumi. Srila Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Sri Gauda Mandala Bhumi Yebi Jane Chintamani Tara Haya Brajabhumi Vasa. Brajabhumi refers to Mathura Vrindavana, and Gauda Mandala includes Navadvipa. These two places are non-different. Therefore, anyone living in Navadvipa Dham, knowing Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the same personality, lives in Brajabhumi, Mathura Vrindavana. The Lord has made it convenient for the conditioned soul to live in Mathura, Vrindavana, and Navadvip, and thus be directly connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Simply by living in these places, one can immediately come in contact with the Lord. There are many devotees who vow never to leave Vrindavan and Mathura. This is undoubtedly a good vow, but if one leaves Vrindavan, Mathura, or Navadvip Dham for the service of the Lord, he is not disconnected from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At any rate, we must understand the transcendental importance of Mathura, Vrindavan, and Navadvip Dham. Anyone who executes devotional service in these places certainly goes back home, back to Godhead, after giving up his body. Thus the words Mathura Bhagavan Yatra Nityam Sanihito Hari are particularly important. Devotees should fully utilize this instruction to the best of his ability. Whenever the Supreme Lord personally appears, he appears in Mathura because of his intimate connection with this place. Therefore, although Mathura and Vrindavana are situated on this planet Earth, they are transcendental abodes of the Lord. There are five powerful processes of devotional service, beginning with chanting the holy name and worshiping the deities. Then it's hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, serving the devotees and living in a holy place. Or also can be included as making a place holy by introducing devotional service there, such as in a temple, or if one goes out on book distribution or preaching Harinam, but is also bringing the holy place to what seems to be a mundane environment. So, including our own body is like a little universe, and according to our consciousness, we're living either in Vaikuntha, or we're living in heaven, or we're living in Slovenia, or we're living in hell, depending upon where our consciousness is. That although there are certain places in the universe where there are living entities who have a predominant certain mode of nature, still, there's no barrier to developing a higher mode of nature or a lower mode of nature, no matter where we are. As in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Gop Kumara, he was going from one planet to the other by chanting the holy name of Gopal, the Gopal mantra. So although he started out actually in Vrindavan, he had material desires, and therefore we find he became a king on this planet, then he became the head of Jagannath Puri, but all the time he was progressing, developing, freeing himself from the modes of ignorance and passion by taking shelter of Gopal and gradually going up to the Indraloka, becoming Indra, then going up to Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Siddhaloka, Brahmaloka, the coverings of the universe, merging in Brahman, Shivaloka, Vaikuntha, and finally he got to his original abode, Vrindavan, in this Goloka Vrindavan. So we're also situated, our consciousness is in some area. Generally speaking, if one lives in a country like in Kali Yuga, especially if we are living in a particular area, generally most people have that type of consciousness of the people living in that area. Not everyone does. Sometimes there are pockets of people with higher consciousness and there are pockets of people with lower consciousness, depending on who they associate with. Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunkte Prakriti Janganan Karna Guna Sangosya Sad Asad Yonish Janmasu. Thus the living entity follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to their association with those modes, as they meet with both good and evil amongst the various species. So this all depends upon who we think is our leader. In other words, if we choose someone in the modes of ignorance and passion as being a great personality who we think is exalted, then we'll develop those modes, similarly in passion, or even in goodness, or even transcendental. It depends on who we actually accept as the leader. And of course, leader means not only to accept like we throw flowers at Prabhupada, we even chant, but to actually accept Prabhupada's instructions. And not only accept them, but to actually follow them. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after hearing from Ramananda Roy about so many different processes of elevating one's consciousness, beginning with Vanashram, to understanding we're not this body, to giving up all varieties of religions, try to follow Krishna's instruction. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that these things are external. He wanted to know something positive. It's not that trying to follow Vanashram, in one sense, for a conditioned soul, it's not negative, but it's still working on the bodily concept of life, trying to elevate oneself to a higher bodily concept of life, higher level of consciousness in the bodily concept of life. And even up to Sarva Dharma Parichaya, there's nothing positive. In other words, it's surrendered to following Krishna's instructions, but one also has to do something positive in the sense of knowing what the goal is and trying to achieve it. Working for the goal of Krishna consciousness, to become conscious of Krishna. Therefore, Ramananda Roy, when he quoted Brahma, Lord Brahma, Gyane priyasa munapasta namanta eva jivanti sanvukaritam bhavadiya varatam. So, Gyane priyasam udapasta namanta. Give up the tendency to speculate. Generally speaking, in the material world, when we get out of the gross material concept of life, when we become interested in intellectual speculation, then we get caught up in that. We lose our interest sometimes in even doing things. We just want to understand things more clearly. And that can go on forever. Trying to understand things more clearly. Ultimately trying to understand where Brahman, somehow or another, coming to the spiritual conception of life, beyond birth and death, seemingly. But without doing something practical, it simply remains on the speculative platform. In other words, we hear something and we don't apply it within our lives, it just remains on the speculative platform. Anything we hear, we don't see how to utilize it in Krishna's service, and if we're not prepared to utilize it in Krishna's service, we're just more or less, in our own minds, we're speculating about it. We don't realize it, we don't taste it, we don't experience it, we speculate about it. And there's a taste for mental speculation. People develop that taste, and they like it, they feel good about it. They know so many things, they can quote so many slokas, they have so many ideas in their head, but they don't serve Krishna. They don't develop love for Krishna. They don't try to fulfill Krishna's mission. They talk about it. Armchair speculators. So therefore, Lord Brahma said, give up this tendency to speculate, and jivanti samukaritam bhavadiyavaratam, actually try to hear from persons who are not just speculating, but serving also, doing something practical in devotional service. And, okay, but these people I'm hearing from, they're sannyasis, or they're living in the temple, what am I supposed to do? Should I leave my family and move into the temple, or what should I do? No, stanesita. No, it doesn't really matter where you are, because Krishna is everywhere. And you're not this body. But to become an instrument for Krishna, you can remain in any position, but become an instrument in that position. And how? Sanesita shudigatam. Hear the Vedas, but tanuvangmanobir. Apply with your body, mind, and words their instructions to serve Krishna. Do something practical. As Prabhupada was talking to one man was asking Prabhupada a question about Buddhism. Can you tell me how Buddhism is related to Krishna consciousness? And Prabhupada said, do you follow Lord Buddha? He said, no. He said, well, do something practical. Just don't talk. Follow the Lord Buddha, at least follow the Lord Buddha. Why are you just speculating? You don't know what Krishna consciousness is. You don't know what Buddhism is. And you want to know what the difference is. It's just a waste of time. Therefore, even at the beginning, when we're just trying to chant Hare Krishna and follow the nine processes of devotional service, there's a tendency to either speculate or not to hear at all, not even to have anything speculating on, have a blank mind and just blindly follow. Therefore, Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. That one should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiry. So we're not just trying to either speculate on all these different topics, where does the jiva come from, who's eligible to be a Diksha Guru. We can talk about these things, there's nothing wrong with it, but just to speculate on it for no practical reason to advance the movement of Krishna consciousness, it's just a waste of time. Who cares where the jiva came from? As I said before, I know one jiva, Jiva Das, he came from Brooklyn, New York. So what? We still have to do our service. So blind following is another thing. We just work, we do things. There's nothing in our head when we're doing it. Maybe there's something there, but it's not Krishna. We're not consciously thinking, I'm doing this to please Krishna, and this energy around me, it's not mine. Nor will I ever own any of it. It's eternally Krishna's. And therefore I'm trying to do it nicely to please him with his energies. And not taking credit, understanding I'm simply trying to become an instrument to please Krishna. So that my original affection towards Krishna can be invoked. So blindfold and absurd inquiries. Anything, any inquiry about, rather than something practical, what we can utilize in service, is usually just absurd. But once you get a clear understanding, we're trying to get clarity about everything. Clarity about our real identity, clarity about Krishna, clarity about this material world, clarity about how everything's working. We want clarity. We want to see things as they actually are, so we can work perfectly as an instrument for Krishna. And how is it possible? Blind following and absurd inquiries. One should get a clear understanding through submission. Submissive inquiries. So we should be inquisitive. We should want to know what reality is. Now the problem is if we already think we know what reality is, our inquisitiveness is going to be rather limited. If we already think we're already there. So Prabhupada had a kind of like a dilemma. On one side, he wanted to encourage the devotees. On the other hand, didn't want to put them in too much an illusion. He wanted to encourage them that you're devotees. That we're not just, if we thought we were karmis or vikarmis, then we go out and act like vikarmis. Oh, no problem, I'm a vikarmi, I can do whatever, you know. That's why Prabhupada wanted us to wear dhotis, so or saris. So when we go out, we don't identify ourselves. Well, I'm hidden, no one's seeing what I'm doing. I don't represent the movement anymore. I can go out and do some nonsense and no one will mind because I'm not doing it on behalf of Krishna. I'm not a devotee. As I said before, when we're in the temple, somehow or another, we before we enter, we put the little halo on and we're all so sweet and nice. And then when we go out, two little horns develop, a little tail that we... And I'm free to do whatever I want. My real nature comes out. No, we should be careful that whatever dress we have, whatever our position, whatever our situation, that we act as devotees so that our consciousness becomes elevated. So we become to the level of Krishna consciousness. That we're doing it in the consciousness of Krishna. That everything here belongs to Krishna. And we're doing it under the guidance of Krishna and his representatives. And not only we're doing it under their guidance, but we're doing it in the same mood that they're doing it, to please Krishna, then Krishna will be able to protect us. Now we think, I put on a dhoti, I've changed my dress and my address, and now I'm protected from all sinful reactions. Even the Yamadutas come, I just show them a neck piece, and they go, oh, sadhu. Wait a second, he did a lot of nonsense too. Neck beats, oh, sadhu. No, we're not going to be judged by how many our neck beads or our sacred thread or whatever. We'll be judged by where our consciousness is. Whether we actually accepted everything as Krishna's energy and utilized it in Krishna's service, according to the Krishna's authorized representatives, in order to please Krishna. If we don't go through that, then we're just imagining we're becoming great devotees or we're making progress. Because Krishna is not going to reveal himself unless we have the complete formula. He'll give us intelligence. He's giving everyone intelligence. He'll give us intelligence how to appear to be devotees. He'll give us the intelligence to give us the inspiration to become a devotee in the future by finally accepting the orders coming down through disciple succession. Actually feeling oneself to be a servant, rather than feeling myself to be, well, I'm a devotee, so naturally I don't have to even feel like a devotee, because I am a devotee. Now, actually, to feel like a devotee is more important than to actually put on a show of being a devotee. To actually feel, be submissive and inquisitive how to serve and please Krishna and his representatives is a lot more important than putting on a big show of being a great devotee. One could be daksha, and all the leaders of the universe practically worshiping you, and you can be envious of the great devotees like Lord Shiva. I'm so great, everyone should worship me. Rather than I'm so small, I should worship everyone. In relation to Krishna, of course. So therefore, our consciousness is going to be elevated. Wherever our consciousness is now, hopefully it's not in the normal place where people living in Slovenia are generally at. Wherever our consciousness is, we can make progress the more we look around and we accept everything as belonging to Krishna. If we don't have that much knowledge and that much faith that everything belongs to Krishna, then the whole example is the bridegroom party, and they were going to cross the river Ganges, and they're all rowing, the boatmen were rowing all night, and the bridegroom party were sleeping, and they woke up the next morning and they found out they were in the same place. They wonder, why are we in the same place? Didn't you people actually slept like we did, the people who were rowing the boat? He said, no, we were rowing all night. So why didn't we make any progress? And they checked and they found out they didn't even pull up the anchor. So what are the anchors? The first anchor is we don't accept everything belongs to Krishna, or not all the time. We have to come to class and be reminded at least of that. This is all Krishna's energy. And therefore we have to find out how to utilize it in a way that Krishna wants us to utilize it, under the guidance of his bona fide representatives. Or as one devotee told me, he said that one other senior devotee, whenever he came to visit, he wanted to go to the movies. So to make his friend happy, he would go to the movies with him. I don't know, maybe it's part of devotional service, but generally speaking, probably better to choose better friends than those who want to go see the movies. No, we have to see everything as Krishna's energy, how to nicely utilize it in Krishna's service, for Krishna's mission. And Krishna has a mission. Yari Deka Tarikaha Krishna Upadesha. If we want to elevate our consciousness in this age beyond something mundane, then we have to accept the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu under the guidance of those who have accepted it and can direct us in that mission. Of course, the mission should be balanced, is one point. The mission is not just like, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted everyone to develop their consciousness But the spiritual world is balanced between relationships between the devotees, worshipping Krishna, doing service for Krishna, doing service to the mission, being disciplined, becoming a sincere servant of the Krishna's servants. So there's a balance between all these different aspects. A devotional service has to be there in order to have a healthy devotional service. Otherwise, we may just be completely into the missionary aspect, completely into the discipline aspect, simply into the fellowship, making friends with the devotees, but it's not balanced. It has to be all of it there. So whatever circumstance we're in, we're applying devotional service practically in a healthy way. So we feel that we're not only a discipline and we have a nice relation with the devotees, we're doing practical service, we're worshiping Krishna in a mood of worship, devotion, that all these things have to be there in order to have a healthy, balanced spiritual life. So that we have to see. And it begins with understanding its energies here for our utilizing the gross and subtle energies in specifically these ways. Worship, devotee association, service to the mission, discipline, action, surrendered action, service, developing the service mood and being a surrendered servant. That these are there, and we have to utilize it under the guidance of those who are more expert than we are, gurus, sadhu, and shastra, so we can refine our service. And then when we do that, the greatest refinement is not only to do things and do things and do things, but to develop that mood of devotion to Krishna. To do it to please Krishna. To develop the desire to please Krishna. And then Krishna will reciprocate. And then our consciousness, like Gopakumara, without even leaving Slovenia, wherever we're going to be, will actually elevate itself to a higher and higher level of consciousness. Through the modes of nature, Brahmande, Brahmate, Kon, Bhagavan, Jeev, Guru, Krishna, Prasadi, Pai, Bhakti, Lata, Bij. By taking this Bhakti, Lata, Bij and apply it within our heart and into activities, then gradually we'll be elevated from the lower levels of the modes to the higher and higher and higher levels. As we get more and more absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then our body and our consciousness will transform itself into Krishna consciousness. And then everywhere will be Vaikuntha. Everywhere will be Goloka Vrindavan. Whether we're in Goloka Vrindavan or not. Because as it says in the tenth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, gradually that seed of devotion will grow and it'll pierce through the coverings of the universe and go to the Vaikuntha, and finally it'll come to Goloka Vrindavan. It'll sprout fruits and flowers at the lotus feet of Krishna. But we have to bring that kripa at least out of Slovenia, at least out of this earth planet, out of the heavenly planets, out of Mara Loka, Jana Loka, Siddha Loka, Brahma Loka, the coverings of we have to see that our kripa is constantly growing. If not, it's going to dwindle and wind up in some other part of the universe, which we probably don't want it to be. Therefore, we have to keep good association and keep the goal in mind and not be satisfied with something less than the goal, and not to be discouraged if we don't get the goal immediately, because it's a very high goal. Most people, you know, their goal is something very insignificant, but we have a very significant goal, and therefore we have to pay the price for it. Part of that is patience, so that we gradually achieve it and be satisfied the fact that we're actually going from one stage of consciousness to the next. But getting free from our miseries and material desires, vihaya kami yak sarvam pumam charati nispriha, nirmamo nirahankara se shanti madhugachiti. A person who's vihaya kami, one who gives up all desires of sense gratification, remains free from desires, gives up all sense proprietorship and is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. So we can do that every moment. We don't have to wait for next lifetime or tomorrow. When these desires come through our mind, the good desires, we accept them. And the desires that are not going to elevate us, we remain aloof from them. Therefore, Prabhupada writes, we should organize our life that throughout the 24 hours a day, we're not helped but think about Krishna. So make it easy. Organize our lives. What am I going to do now? What am I going to do in an hour from now? So that we don't have to speculate. Because if we speculate too much, Maya will say, well, all right, take a break for half an hour. You have plenty of time. You're eternal. No, if we actually plan out our day, then we'll say, oh, okay, I'll do this and I'll do that. And it'll become exciting, the day, rather than just sitting around, what should I do? I have too much spare time. Maybe I should just space out. No, I should just go to sleep. I dream about hopefully Krishna. So this is a way of doing it so that we have spent our time in Krishna consciousness. And if we're determined to do that, then Krishna will give us the intelligence what to do and how to do it. So we only have two businesses to find out what our business is. And then the second question is, how's business? How to serve Krishna, why we should serve Krishna, what we should do, why we should do it, how we should do it, and what you expect by doing it. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
When we distribute books, in the beginning of book distribution, we are very, very enthusiastic. Then after some time, we lose enthusiasm and become dry. Then why this happened, and what to do to come back, and then we can maintain, for example, this our enthusiasm not only 1 hour or 1 day, then we can be all the time in good conscience and enthusiastic.
Well, we don't, our consciousness is given to us by Krishna, Didami Buddhi Yogam Tam, Sarvasya Chaham Ridiva Sanivishto. So if we have our goal, a very high goal, normal goal actually, high, whatever, to help serve Krishna, to please Krishna. And what will please Krishna is to help his other children back to come back to the spiritual world. And that's why we're out on book distribution, is to help others revive their relationship with Krishna. Then Krishna will make our service very interesting and sweet all the time. And when our goal, we have some other goal, like I want to be, you know, Lord, I want to find it, like I, as I said, I had all kinds of devotees, even my own consciousness, all different kinds of goals. I remember one time I was distributing books with one, as I said before, Radha Damodar had the top 20 devotees in the world at that time, book distributors. And I was like number 20-something. The other devotee I was distributing with, he was number 3 in the world. It was in a small airport in Charlotte, North Carolina. And his technique was, he'd find only the most gorgeous women who came by, wealthy women, and he'd stop them. He was a good-looking man. He'd stop them, and if you took a video of it, you'd think it was Romeo meeting Juliet. It was quite a little sensuous. And he'd give rather large donations from them and distribute a lot of books on that basis. So that went on we were distributing for around 6 months together. And then one day he found the lady he was looking for, and that was the end of his book distribution. The rest was some kind of history. So whatever we're looking for, Krishna will send eventually. If we're looking for prestige and we'll get empowered to do a lot of books and we'll have our name, you know, in the Sankirtan newsletter as a Maharati, and people will bow down to us, those who are in the know, that we're empowered Shaktivesha avatars for some time, and then when it doesn't work anymore, we lose the taste, we're not getting, then we give it up. Look for prestige somewhere else. Bigger prestige. But if we keep the goal in mind as becoming a humble servant and try to actually serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu under the guidance of his devotees, then gradually will be revealed to us. What will be revealed? Will be revealed that actually this activity is bringing us into the spiritual level of consciousness, where we'll be able to see all these living entities as Krishna's eternal servants. And all this energy is all spiritual energy. And we're being directed directly by the super soul in our heart who's guiding us. And we'll know what to say at every moment, what to do, whatever, because Krishna will be using us as an instrument. And we'll be in bliss all the time, in love with everyone we're distributing to. We'll be ecstatic. And we'll be doing something valuable with our existence. Distributing actual love of God. Not only in the book, but we'll have the consciousness of love of God. We'll be the book also. What the book is saying. Yes?
Our consciousness, for example, in book distribution, or any service, especially book distribution, we can do also in tamaguna, in ignorance, or in passion, or in goodness, or in pure goodness. Can you tell us, for example, some example how we can recognize if we are doing in tamaguna, sankirtan, or in rajaguna, satvaguna, shuddha sattva?
Well, tamagun means we're angry if we're cursing the people if they don't take the book. You demon, you go to hell. And rajaguna, we see everyone as a big wallet. See how much they can extract from them. In goodness, we more or less understand the mission. We may not feel it very deeply, but we're doing it dutifully because we understand the value of this mission. And transcendentally, we're actually experiencing it. We're actually doing it with transcendental awareness and knowledge. Anything else? Thank you very much. Gandharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.